We're going to talk to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to talk to you this morning about loving like you've never been hurt. Loving like you've never been hurt. You know, there's only two subjects in the Bible where God felt like it was important to give a whole chapter in the Bible to a subject. One of those subjects was faith, the Hebrews chapter 11. The whole chapter is on faith. The other one was on love.
Yep.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Those are the only two.
Yeah.
The only two. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. This is going to help you. This is going to bless you. This
yeah,
is going to change you.
Is.
And let's pray. Father, we love you.
We thank you,
Jesus. Lord, that your word's anointed. We thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. We thank you, Lord, that your word can change lives and
yes.
change circumstances.
Thank you, God.
Now, Lord, anoint Pastor Vicky's and my words. Help us speak with boldness. Help us speak with clarity. And Lord, help us share this morning with love and compassion.
Yeah.
Open our ears and open up our hearts.
Hallelujah.
For what you have for us today.
Thank
in
you.
Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
So we're talking about loving like you've never been hurt. I love that topic because the truth is it applies to all of us. Every single one of us has been hurt in some way. Everyone in this room, in some capacity, whether it's been a betrayal, whether it's been a disappointment, whether it's been someone talking about you or maybe getting stabbed in the back. And a lot of people are really carrying those wounds. And what
yeah.
that does is it weighs you down.
Right.
And a hurting heart is a heavy heart. And so we're here to tell you that for every heart that is hurting, there is hope. For every pain that you've gone through, for every wounded spirit, there's grace. And
yeah.
there's
yeah.
healing. And
yeah.
you know why that is? Because his love
Thank you, Lord.
On the inside of us is so powerful. His love on the inside of us is so powerful. Love is a very powerful thing. Let's look for just a second at what the Bible says about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 8, even though, as Pastor said, the whole chapter really deals with love. But I love how this reads. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains, without love, I am nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 4. Love suffers long. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely and will not seek its own and is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. I love
yeah.
that. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Endures all things. Wow, that's a lot. How many of you are already feeling like, man, I've already missed something there in that love chapter? I've already fallen short somewhere. And then
yeah.
I love verse 8. It says, love never fails.
Love never fails. Everyone say that with me. Love never fails. Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
Love never fails.
You know, there's a lot of love quotes, and I'm not going to, I had some here that I was going to read, but I'm not going to read all these love quotes. I'm going to go right into the love quote that
From
we
today, yeah.
are talking about today, and that is love like you've never been hurt. Love like you've never been hurt. How many has ever heard that quote before?
Yeah.
You've heard that. Okay, so it's new to many of you. That is a quote that you probably, you for sure probably hadn't heard of the person that said it.
Right.
And that it came from. And that was Leroy Satchel Paige. Leroy Satchel Paige. Let me tell you about Leroy Satchel Paige. He was the first African-American pitcher in the American League. The first African-American pitcher. He played 20 years of baseball. He played baseball in a time when he was the only black man
yeah.
on the pitching field.
He was the only one.
Only one on the pitching field. And he was criticized. He was ridiculed. He had racial slurs would come up against him from people in the stands. It was amazing. But there was a story that was it's been verified that Leroy was a really excellent athlete. He was an awesome athlete. And one of the teams that they were playing against wanted to humiliate him on the field. So they put up their four best batters right from the get-go against Leroy. If you know anything about baseball or softball or any of that, wiffle ball, we played wiffle ball last weekend up north. If you know anything about ball like that, you know that you put up three batters and then number four is the strongest hitting batter. You have three and then number four is the strongest, then three and then the fourth is the strongest again. Well, they put four of their strongest batters right up to humiliate him. And so when he got onto the field, this is true. This is a true story. He gets onto the field and he tells everyone in the outfield, go back to the dugout. Go back to the dugout.
Go sit down.
Go sit down in the dugout. And then he tells all the guys on the bases, first, second, and third base, just sit on the base. All the outfielders get into the dugout, and you bass players sit on the base. I mean, that's weird. And so he got up, and he started pitching against these professional ball players, and he struck every single one of them out. Struck them out.
Yeah. Love it.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Leroy had some really famous pitches. And here's a few of his famous pitches. He had one pitch called the B-ball. One was called the B-ball. I'm not exactly sure what it was but he had another one called the Bat Dodger. That was another. Any pitchers in here? Okay. So you know what that is? The Bat Dodger? Okay, cool. How about the Long Tom? Long Tom was another. But his most famous pitch was a pitch called Hesitation Pitch. Hesitation Pitch. And it was a really awkward kind of a pitch where he would get up, he would start getting ready to make the pitch, and he would freeze in a position. He would hesitate, and what it would do is it would throw all the batters off. It would throw their timing off. And so that was his most famous pitch. When he was 60 years old, he pitched three innings. I don't know how many 60-year-old pitchers there are these days, but when he was 60 years old, he pitched three innings for Kansas City. Here's some of Leroy's famous quotes. Listen to this. He had a few of them, and listen to this one. If you want to be a good pitcher, keep the ball off the fat part of the bat. Wisdom. How about this one? He was also given credit for this, and some of you may recognize this quote. Work like you don't need the money. Dance like nobody's watching. Have you heard that before? Work like you don't need the money. Dance like nobody's watching. But this was the quote that resonated with me more than any of them. And it was, love, you gotta love like you've never been hurt.
Yep.
You gotta love like you've never been hurt. Yeah. You know, and that quote came from, you know, people were screaming racial slurs at him, and the media asked him, how do you feel about that? Yeah. And his response was, you gotta love like you've never been hurt.
Yeah.
People are attacking you, people are saying mean things to you. You gotta love like you've never been hurt.
Right.
Because the truth is, sooner or later, all of us are going to go through some type of hurt, some type of rejection, some type of conflict. You're going to have conflict somewhere with somebody. You know, it's interesting because Mark Twain said this. He said, if you ever find a dog by the side of the road that's been starved or beaten or it's hurt, and you take that dog home and you nurse it back to health and you love it, that dog will never bite you. That dog will never leave you. And he said, that's the difference between a dog and human beings.
Yeah.
Because many times the truth is those that you love the most end up hurting you the deepest. Even those sometimes that you've helped, I know many times for us as pastors, those that we've spent the most time with and helped with and counseled and prayed with, they will leave you. And so how do you press through that and continue to pour love into others? Because you know what? Jesus had a famous quote too in Matthew 18. You know what he said? Offense will come.
Yeah.
In other words, you're going to be offended. You're going to be hurt.
Yeah.
There's going to come a time when you're going to be attacked. How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to be able to love?
Yeah.
Like you've never
been
hurt?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Here's a powerful truth or thought that I want you to write down in your notes if you're taking notes this morning. Anybody can get along with somebody as long as there's no conflict. Anybody can get along with somebody as long as there's no conflict.
Right.
As long as we have the same point of view,
right,
the same theology,
right,
the same lifestyle, everything's
yeah,
good.
But it's easy.
But church, what about when you do have a conflict? You gotta love like you've never been hurt. You got to love like you've never been hurt. We're going to give you some Bible examples,
right,
of people that have loved like they've never,
right,
been hurt.
Because if you think about it, I mean, think of Joseph. Remember Joseph and what his brothers did to him? First, they stripped him of all his clothes, threw him into a pit, and were just going to leave him there to die. Then they decided to sell him into slavery. So they betrayed him. They abandoned him.
Yep.
Then his boss, Potiphar, she made false accusations against him. The baker forgot about him. All these people who hurt him, fast forward years later, they're now standing before him desperate. They're starving. Remember the story? I mean, the whole land is in a drought, and they're standing before Joseph now in their moment of need, and he has the keys in his hands to all the corn, all the food, all the grain that they would ever need. You know, how many of you know that the flesh in him, I'm sure could have thought, wow, this is my moment to get him back.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, I'll
For
show
sure.
them. But he didn't. He chose to love the very ones who had hurt him. He saved his family. He rescued his betrayers. Think about Moses. He wanted to set God's people free, but he ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. 40 years, really, to think about the people that had hurt him. The betrayal, the mockings, the backstabbing. And then God shows up in a burning bush and says, I want you to go back to the very people that hurt you and set them free. I'm sure he's thinking, wait a minute, I pet that dog and he bit me. But you know what? He obeyed God, went back, and experienced a great deliverance. You know, there's
yeah.
something really powerful that happens when we understand this truth and we learn and we realize that God has called us to love like we've never been hurt. I mean, look at David. Think of David for a minute. He had a father who didn't believe in him.
Yeah.
He had brothers who continually made fun of him.
Yeah.
He had a wife that put him down, mocked his worship, and he had a father-in-law that was continually trying to kill him. I mean, you guys thought your family had issues.
Yeah.
Talk about this family
yeah.
here. I mean, they had stuff going on. They had issues. And you know what? David had to learn to love
yeah.
like he'd never been
so
hurt.
So no matter what, you know, kind of family you came out of, no matter what's going on in your family, some of you've got some family issues
yeah,
going on.
Family
Maybe
stuff.
Even right now, you've got a bunch of family issues that are going on. No matter what hurt you've got, no matter what's happened in your heart, what we're saying is you've got to make up your mind. You have to make up your mind this morning that I'm not going to get bitter, and I'm not going to get mean, and I'm not going to get
right.
angry. I'm not going to shut myself out.
Right.
It's really easy to do that.
Yes.
It's really easy to get bitter,
yep.
to get angry, to get mean.
It's true.
But no matter what you do to me, no matter what you say about me, no matter how you treat me, I am going to love like I've never been hurt.
Yes. Wow.
Church, it's not easy to do, and we're going to give you the solution to this and some help to this at the end of the service here. But, you know, sometimes you have to love God like you've never been hurt. Have you ever noticed that? I have. I don't know about the rest of you. I mean, maybe some of you have never been on the same type of journey I've been on, but I've got to be honest with you. I've had to learn to love God like I've never been hurt.
Right.
Because, you know, what can happen is we can be hurt by a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter or a mom or a dad or, you know, because of their spirit or different things that are going on and their behaviors and they're hurting us.
Yeah.
We can be hurt by a spouse or a family member that maybe has betrayed you or doesn't understand. I get that. We can be hurt by that. But church, what do you do when you feel like God has let you down? I felt that. I felt like God has let me down. Has anyone else ever been there? Where you felt like, oh, you know, you prayed and he didn't respond the way you thought he was going to respond. He didn't respond or he didn't answer the prayer like you thought he was going to answer the prayer. I can promise you one thing, Job felt that way. You know, I mean, think about it. I'm sure Job felt that way. Job lost 10 kids in one day. Job's wife, she wasn't a sweet lady. She said, kill yourself, Job. Kill yourself. And then Job had friends who would sit around in a circle and they would humiliate him. They would call him a hypocrite. Yep. They would call him a liar.
Come on.
I'm sure Job felt that way. But church, let me tell you something. I like what the Bible said. Job prayed for his friends.
Yep. He prayed for them.
He didn't get bitter. Didn't get angry. Didn't get mean. He prayed. Prayed for his friends.
Wow, that's powerful.
And what happened? He prayed for his friends, and suddenly, he's like, "I'm gonna love like I've never been hurt.
Yep. Keep on loving.
I'm gonna love like I've never been hurt. I'm gonna pray for my friends." And God said, "You know, because you're praying for your friends, and you're not getting bitter. Because you're praying for your friends, and you're not getting angry. Because you're praying for your friends, and you're not mean and nasty." I'm going to give you double for your trouble.
I'm going to bless you double.
Some of you could use some double for your trouble. But your anger is not going to get you there. Your bitterness isn't going to get you there. Your hatred's not going to get you there. God says, I'm going to restore your life, Job, because of your blessing and your praying. God can restore what the enemy has taken from you, you guys.
Yes. And he will.
Some of you are sitting there in your seat and you're disappointed with where some things have happened in your life. God can restore what the enemy has stolen.
Yes. Wow.
Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
I mean, it all sounds really good, I know that, but really, can you believe it? Can you believe it in your heart? Can you believe it in your spirit? Can you believe it in your mind that God really can restore what the enemy has tried to steal from you? Amen?
Amen. I mean, look at our greatest example. Look at Jesus. He was afflicted and he was beaten. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was humiliated.
Yeah.
Humiliated by dying the most agonizing death on that cross. And in his moment of agony, what did he do? He said, Father, forgive.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them.
Father,
I'm sure
forgive.
He didn't feel like it. And that's the thing. If you wait until you feel like forgiving, you will be waiting your whole life. Because forgiveness is not an emotion that you feel. Forgiveness is a choice that you make. Love is a choice that you make. Did you know that forgiveness can actually rewrite your future?
Yeah.
Love can set into motion a flow of blessings. And the Christian walk is actually a journey in forgiveness. The Christ follower is on a journey of love. And the truth is, even in the body of Christ, there are those of us that really have not learned how to love.
Yeah.
Even in the body of Christ, there are many families that are hurting. There are many families with issues. Many families where someone has stopped talking to someone. And I think even in the body of Christ, we can still learn how to love like we've never been hurt.
I hear things. As a pastor, I hear of children who aren't talking to their parents, and I hear of parents who aren't talking to their children, and I hear of grandparents that haven't seen their grandchildren.
Come on.
I hear this. I hear of the child that says, I haven't talked to my parents in a year. That's really sad. I hear, the different conflicts that are going on, and brothers are taking brothers to court. That's shameful. Brothers are taking brothers to court, and people are suing one another. And even in the body of Christ, we have to learn how to love one another. Because don't forget that in Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, Paul said that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Can anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes it has to start with the Christ follower.
Yes.
Sometimes it has to start. Sometimes you're the one that needs to take the first step. Sometimes you're the one that needs to take the step toward reconciliation.
Yes.
They may not take the step, but sometimes you need to take that step to reconciliation. Let me just say to some of you children, parents aren't always going to get it right.
Come on.
Some of you are really pissed off right now at your parents. But parents aren't always going to get it right.
Come on. Let's be real.
And let me say to some of you parents, because you're really ticked off today towards some of your kids. Kids aren't always going to do it right.
That's right.
Parents aren't always going to get it right. Kids aren't always going to do it right. Sometimes we need to just learn to zip it. I've been a parent. We've been a parent. We raised up two great kids. And we didn't have a lot of challenges with our teenagers. Some of you have had some challenges with your teenagers.
Yeah.
Now I've got five great, beautiful grandchildren.
Yeah.
And we'll watch things and see things. And sometimes we may not agree with something or whatever. But you know what? As a grandparent, I just need to zip my lip.
Yeah.
It's not your place. You need to zip your lip. Because it's not your spot.
Oh, boy.
To bring correction. Sometimes just zipping our lip.
Right.
How many have ever heard of the word nitroglycerin?
Yeah. Oh boy, come on.
A lot of you probably didn't know this, but nitroglycerin means two things.
Yeah, two definitions.
Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, nitroglycerin means that it's an explosive to blow up something.
Right.
A lot of you probably figured that. You knew that. It sounds like that. Nitroglycerin sounds like something that'll blow up something. But number two, the second definition, is it can heal hearts.
Wow.
There is such a thing called a nitro pill.
Yeah, you put it on your tongue.
You put it there on your tongue, and it can heal a heart problem that has an unsettling in their heart. It can heal the heart.
Wow.
A lot of people didn't know that.
No.
But church, we're telling you that because your words are like nitro.
They can either,
your words, my words, your words, your words, they're like nitro.
Yeah.
And you can either blow up your house, can either blow up your house, or you can bring healing to your house.
Wow.
From your tongue.
Wow, that's powerful.
Right there.
Yeah.
Your tongue can either blow up your house or it can bring healing to your house.
Yes.
How many are getting this?
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Because the truth is, sometimes within our own household, we've got some stuff going on, and we may have to be willing to say, I may not approve of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I may not agree with your lifestyle, but as long as you're mine, I'm going to love you. As long as you're alive, I'm going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's going to stop me from calling you. Nothing's going to stop me from talking to you. As long as you're mine, I'm going to love you. You can't get me out of your life because love never fails.
Yeah.
You're going to go through stuff. And you know what? Today, in the world that we live in, if you have teenagers, you are going to go through some stuff. It's just inevitable.
Yeah, we didn't go through stuff with our kids, but
Thank God.
There was a time. You know, all of us have probably stories.
Thanks for being a good teenager.
Yeah. You were a great teenager. I mean, a couple weird things here and there about you. You know, little couple quirks here and there every now and then. You did good though, babes. You're awesome. Amen. But we went through a really dark time, honestly, with someone that I put trust in the person. We went through a season that was really deep. It was a deep betrayal. I had a loss of friends. I had a loss of friendships. I had a loss of finances. It was a very painful time. We felt like we didn't have anyone we could talk to. Has anybody ever been there before? You know, it's just a really hard season, and you don't even know who you can talk to or who you can trust. And we even had ministry friends that distanced themselves from you because, you know, just like in your jobs or in your world, the ministry world isn't perfect either. And one thing that happens in the ministry world is when ministers are going through a funky season, what happens a lot of times is ministers will distance themselves from one another because they don't want their name to be affected by any bad reputation. And that's shameful because honestly, what they need is they need some restoration. They need some help. They need some encouragement. They don't need the stiff arm. And so it's all over. But when we were going through our season, it was amazing. You know, we felt like quitting. We felt like giving up. We felt like different things. But one thing that was really powerful to me is this, and I want you to write this on your notes. This was a powerful truth, and I hope this will actually help you and bring healing to you, and that is God's word can heal, God's love can restore, and God's presence can bring peace.
Right.
I knew that, but I had to press into that.
Right.
I had to press into God's word because it would bring healing. I had to press into God's love because it would bring restoration. And I had to press into God's presence because God's presence would bring peace.
Exactly.
But I'll be honest with you, the flesh part of me was struggling with some resentment. The flesh part of me was struggling with anger. The flesh part of me was struggling with wanting revenge. It would have felt good. Want some revenge. I was resenting some people. I don't know if you've ever been there. Some of you are looking real religious at me. But I would lay in bed at night, and the issue wasn't them, the issue was me. I'd lay in bed at night.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit would come.
The issue wasn't them, the issue was me. I was the one that had anger. I was the one that had some rage. I was the one that despised. The man thing in me wanted revenge. Felt like this person ruined my life. I went through a really, really hard season. And then I remembered what Peter asked Jesus. He said, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven?
How many times do I have to do this?
Just seven times? And if you remember, Jesus said, no, you got to forgive seven times seven. Or you got to forgive seven times 70, which is 490 times in a day.
That's a lot.
In a day. Let me tell you guys something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a lot like ketchup. It's like a ketchup bottle. I don't like ketchup all that much, but she loves ketchup. In fact, I get embarrassed sometimes taking her to a steakhouse because she'll ask, and it really, we'll go to the Ruth Chris Steakhouse and she'll ask for ketchup. That's wrong. That's just wrong.
I don't care if it offends the chef. I'm going to get my ketchup with my steak.
You got issues. we'll preach on that next week, okay? We'll preach on your issues next week. But here's the thing about ketchup in a bottle. Now, you can buy ketchup a lot of ways. You can buy ketchup in a squeeze bottle. It just comes squeezing
it just
out.
It comes oozing
right out.
No effort.
But honestly, ketchup in a bottle is different because, number one, you gotta open it. And once you open it, there's pressure that is released after you open it. And so when it comes to forgiveness in your heart, number one, you've got to be open to it.
Right.
If you're going to really have forgiveness that takes place in your life, you've got to, number one, be open to it. But just open to it doesn't bring healing. If you'll ever notice on these glass bottles, some of you never have noticed, you don't have the patience. All you do is take a knife and you stick a knife in there and you start getting it out of there. I'm going to get that baby out. And you stick your dirty old knife in there. And that's why I hate these bottle things, because you go to a restaurant.
That's the secret.
But here's the secret. On these bottles, on these Heinz 57 bottles, If you maybe have never noticed this, but right on the side of the bottle, right here, is the word or the number 57. Then somebody else told me something else this morning. 57, that's where you tap. You're supposed to tap where it says 57. You don't tap back here. You don't tap up here. You tap on the 57. But what that 57 means is it's got to be at 57 degrees. 57 degrees. So when you tap it at 57 degrees, and I'm not going to keep tapping it because then we're going to get ketchup all over the carpet or my iPad or whatever. But my point is, you got to keep tapping. You got to keep tapping. And when you keep tapping and you keep tapping, and you keep tapping, eventually the ketchup flows. Eventually, when you are open to forgiveness and you start tapping, what do I mean by tapping? Maybe you just send a text message.
Yep.
That's a tap.
Tap, tap, tap.
You just send them a text message. They don't reply, send them another tap again.
Tap.
Send them another text message. Now they reply through text. Now you send them a phone call. Oh, they didn't answer? Send them another phone call. They didn't answer? You leave a voicemail. You keep tapping. You keep tapping. Now you left a voicemail. They didn't reply, but you call them again. Now they answered the phone.
Yeah.
You keep tapping. You keep tapping. Now you got a conversation going. Now you go out to lunch. You spend a lunch together.
Keep tapping.
I'm saying is you keep tapping.
You keep tapping.
And as you keep tapping and tapping and tapping and tapping, eventually the forgiveness will flow. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
It's very powerful.
Yeah. Amen.
It's very powerful.
Amen. In fact, here's our first point. I know we had a long intro, but we're going to get through these
three points are going really quick.
Really quick. Number one, forgiveness is not about keeping score. It's about losing count. I know that sounds simplistic. It can even sound maybe a little bit worldly, but it is so true. And if you really get this into your heart, it will change your life. The forgiveness is not about keeping score. It's about losing count. Because, see, your flesh, your natural man just keeps score.
Yeah.
And it builds up and builds up.
Yeah.
But I know for us, when we went through that dark season, first thing we had to do was open up our hearts to that, and then we had to start tapping. Little by little, you take those steps toward losing count. You keep tapping, little at a time.
Keep tapping.
You stop keeping score. You open up your heart. You stop asking why. You stop holding grudges, and you let the forgiveness flow. You let God speak to your heart. You let God bring healing to your heart. Stop keeping score and start losing count. Number two, here's another thing that's really true. Sometimes it takes the worst done to you to bring out the best in you.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is so true.
Yeah.
This is so true. If you'll guard your heart, I know in that season I had to be so careful to guard my heart from bitterness. That's why the Bible says, take care, beware, lest any root of bitterness come up in your heart. But if you'll keep your heart soft, if you'll keep your heart right, you will be amazed that even the worst things can bring out the best. Even the worst done to you can bring out the best in you. It's amazing that what the enemy meant for harm, God really can turn it around for your good.
Yeah.
What the enemy meant for your destruction, God's going to turn that all around, and he's going to bring out the best in you. And then finally, we've got one more point.
Let me give you number three. It's unforgivable not to forgive.
It's true.
You guys, it's unforgivable not to forgive. Now, I always heard my whole life growing up that there's one unforgivable sin. It's cursing and cussing and damning the Holy Spirit. But that's not true. There's two unforgivable sins. One is cursing the Holy Spirit. The other is if you don't forgive the person who brought offense to you, your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. We're here today with a message on reconciliation. Now let me say, somebody asked the question this morning, and our message is on forgiveness. There's a lot of people that are carrying a lot of unforgiveness in their heart. But let me just clarify. Boundaries are good. Okay? Boundaries are good. Somebody was asking me, I've forgiven, but is it okay that I've still set up some boundaries? And this person violated and I still got... Boundaries are good, okay? And it's not that you forgive and then you just open up your arms and say, come on back into my life and hurt me all over again.
Right.
Or violate me all over. No. So boundaries are good, but we're not here this morning speaking on boundaries. But I want you to understand, you do need to forgive.
That's right.
But boundaries are healthy. Boundaries are good. But church, we're here today to pray for those of you who need to learn to love like you've never been hurt.
That's it.
Some of you have been really hurt, and you've had a hard time getting past the hurt. You got to love like you've never been hurt. You know, somewhere in this city, maybe not in this city, in Burnsville, at Fairview Ridges, but maybe somewhere in the Twin Cities right now, there is an 18 or 19 or 17, 18, 19-year-old girl in the hospital that just had a baby. And she's not married. She just had a baby with her boyfriend. And her Christian parents are really upset. and they have written her off. They have written her off. But church, you know something? What that young girl in that hospital room really needs is a mother that'll walk into that room with tears coming down her face, that'll say, "Honey, I love you. And I'm gonna help you change those diapers, and I'm gonna help you raise that child up. And I love you." She doesn't need to be written off.
Right.
She needs to be loved. Because that's what love would do. That's what love is. Love doesn't write people off. You might be disappointed in them, but you don't write them off. You just don't do that. It's not what love is. It's not what love does. There's probably somebody in this church sitting right here in a group this size. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. So don't think I'm talking to you. But I might be talking to you. But there's a spouse here, possibly, where your husband or your wife has violated your relationship and been unfaithful in your relationship, and you can legally write it off. Scripturally, you can let them go. You've got a biblical reason to let them go. But just maybe God let you hear this message this morning to say, I'm not through with my family.
Come on.
I'm not through with my marriage. And I'm going to love like I've never been hurt. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm just encouraging you. Maybe God wants to do a special work in your heart and life. Can you love like you've never been hurt? I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for reconciliation. Reconciliation in your life. Reconciliation in some of your relationships. Reconciliation in some of your marriages. Reconciliation in some of your families. Reconciliation in some of your parent and child relationships. I just want to pray for reconciliation. And I want you to just receive the prayer and just receive. You know, I'm not going to ask you to stand if you need reconciliation or if you need to learn to love like you've never been hurt. I'm not going to identify you this morning having you stand up. But I just want you to, right there in your seat, just take on this prayer, receive this prayer, and just ask God to touch you in a supernatural way, because your hurt and your unforgiveness and your pain is not helping your life in any way whatsoever. In fact, I would say that it's hurting you more than it is helping you. It's hurting you. So bow your heads with me this morning. Lord, I just lift up every single individual here this morning. Lord, every person that's just gone through some difficult circumstance, difficult pain, where parents have written off kids and where kids have written off parents, where spouses have written off one another, where friendships have been severed. I pray, Lord, for a supernatural hand to minister to every single one of these individuals. And Lord, bring healing, bring wholeness, bring peace. I thank you, Lord, that This isn't going to happen through a counselor. This isn't going to happen through a pastor. Lord, what we're asking to have happen can only happen through Jesus. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for whole hearts, healed hearts. Let that healing begin to flow. Let forgiveness begin to happen in every single one of our lives. And we give you thanks, we give you glory, we give you honor. Now, one more thing, with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I'm just going to ask, you know, that healing takes place, honestly, it really is the Lord that can do that. You can go to a counselor for the rest of your life, and I'm not knocking counselors. I think counselors are healthy. I think getting counseling can be a good thing for your life in some circumstances. I understand that. There's a place and a time for counselors. I get that. But you know what? The real healing happens through Jesus Christ. Right. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, you've never asked Jesus to be the center of your life, you never asked Jesus to be the center of your relationship, I want to invite you to ask Jesus into your heart this morning. Maybe it's a recommitment today. Maybe it's just the reassurance. But on the count of three, I want you to just lift up your head and look at me this morning. Lift up your head boldly and just look at me and stare at me this morning as I run my eyes across the congregation. If you are asking him into your heart for the first time ever, maybe it's a recommitment, maybe it's the reassurance. Lift up your head on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Sir, God bless you. God bless you. Sir, ma'am, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God, thank you, Lord. God is good. God bless you. Several heads up. Thank you, Lord. Everyone say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Come and live in me.
Come and live in me.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
You are my Savior.
You are my Savior.
You are my healer.
You are my healer.
And you're my deliverer.
You're my deliverer.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Thank you for rising again.
Thank you for rising again.
And thank you for dwelling in my heart.
Thank you for dwelling in my heart.
I am saved.
I am saved.
Say that one more time. I am saved.
Saved.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you said that prayer for the first time, maybe a recommitment, welcome to the body of Christ. And this is a great place to plug in. It's a great place. We'll just help you on your journey. We're not going to fix you. We're just going to help you.
Yep.
On your journey.
Love you where you're at.
We don't look at you as a project. We look at you as a person. And God is the one that brings healing, restoration, and all of that. So we welcome you to come back and find a good home church and all of that. Okay? One more thing I really want to do. If you are going through if you need healing like right now in your life and healing in your body, maybe healing in your heart, healing physically, you're going through something physically in your life, just stand to your feet. I want to pray healing over your body right now. If you're going through maybe some sickness, disease, something like that, you could use a healing. I know our God can touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Just stand up wherever you are. God bless you. Just stand up. That's good. Be bold enough to stand up. If you need, you know, if you got aches, pains, if you got a chronic disease, if you got constant headaches, if you got something going on physically that you need God to touch you in, I just want to pray the prayer of faith over your body right now and ask God to heal you in Jesus' name. And church, just stretch your hands out towards any one of these individuals that are standing. If you feel like getting out of your seat and making your way to one of them, feel free to do that. Otherwise, just stretch your hand out. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. I thank you, Lord, that you're healing them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And their bodies, Lord, are lining up with the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that by your stripes, we are healed. I thank you, Lord, that healing is flowing. I thank you, Lord, for that supernatural touch from you. I thank you, Lord, that you're healing bones, you're healing muscles, you're healing nerves, you're healing diseases. And Lord, we give you all the glory for that. We give you the praise. I thank you, Lord, for that supernatural touch upon their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big, big hand clap this morning.